Open your Bibles to Zechariah. Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 11. The title of this will be The Blood of the Covenant. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Well, of course, that's referring to our Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the everlasting covenant. And it is by that blood that he says to the prisoners of sin, Satan, the law, come forth and show thyself. It is by the blood of the everlasting covenant. It's not by our repentance. It's not by our faith. It's not by our works. It's not by anything that we do that we are released, but we do repent daily. And we do pray and we do believe. We have faith. But it is by the blood of the covenant all of those gifts are given unto us. Amen. Dead folks do not pray. They do not believe. They cannot hear, see, or understand. They do not seek the Lord. It is only the living people that pray and believe and repent and so on. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 30. Acts 5:30. Repentance is the gift of God. Verse 29, I'll back up to verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins." Repentance is the gift of God. It's not something we have without the gift of God. Look at Timothy, chapter or 2 Timothy, I think it is. And let me back up here to verse 25. Well, let's go to verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. He mustn't strive with men. But he must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That they can turn from all of their idolatry, serving the idols of free will, contingencies, man's own will, and all such foolishness as that, and depend on the blood of the everlasting covenant for our salvation. in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they might recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Satan takes men captive at his will. He causes them to do as he would have them to do, and they must be delivered from his clutches by the Lord Jesus Christ. When a strong man arms keepeth his house, his goods are secure. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he spoils his house. When Satan dwells within people whom he possesses, unbelievers, they being his house are secured in his possession until the Lord Jesus Christ comes along and rousts him out, and takes possession of that house. So repentance is the gift of God, and faith is the gift of God, and faith, that gift of God, is what makes them believers, because thy children, now there's already children, thy children shall be taught of God, and they're children of God by election. They have always been the children of God in the foreknowledge of God, or in the foreordination of God, in the because God had loved them from everlasting with an everlasting love. Thy children, which he loved, shall be taught of God. What does he teach them? Well, he teaches them the gospel. He teaches them who Jesus Christ is, what he did, where he is now, what our relationship is to him, and what our relationship is to sin and to the law. Though all of those things are things that God teaches his children. And because ye are sons, Galatians 4:6, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. God puts his Spirit into his children of the covenant and causes them to cry, Abba, Father. It's not something that they make up their mind to do by their free will, by their efforts or their works. It is salvation is of the Lord. It's completely of the Lord. It's totally of the Lord. And people believe because God puts his Spirit in them, and the Spirit in him bears witness with their spirit to the truth. When they hear it, that is the gospel, because he is the Spirit of truth whom this world cannot receive. I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He is in believers. Every function of spiritual life that is in believers, every function, whether it's repentance, faith, godly sorrow, whatever the gift is that's in it, and it is all the gift of grace, is by the blood of Jesus Christ and by nothing else. And it's by the blood of Jesus Christ, according to the everlasting covenant of grace, wherein God gave his purpose and grace to the elect of God before the foundation of the world, 2 Timothy 1:9. Let's look at that. Well, let's begin reading it. We'll begin reading at verse 7. 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That gospel that never causes any problems, that people can listen to and everything just be smooth sailing and there's no feathers ruffled, is not the gospel of God. It's a worldly gospel preached by worldly men, and there's no salvation in it. The gospel of God causes trouble everywhere it goes. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us. Well, when did he do that? When he put us in Jesus Christ before he made this world. He chose us in Christ. Jude, let me read just first chapter, verse Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. That is, set apart by God the Father in the covenant of grace by eternal election of grace before the foundation of the world. We were sanctified unto eternal life, given to the Lord Jesus Christ as his bride and people before God made any of the creation. And not only that, but we were preserved in Jesus Christ. He kept us from utter destruction all through eternity past. He kept us through the fall. The fall did not damn us because we were preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're called. In time, God tells us what he's done. He lets us know what's happened. That he has owned us and he's put us among the children by the spirit of adoption. How shall I put thee among the children? That's the spirit of adoption. He simply puts us in his family. God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. That means it's efficacious. It never misses its mark. It's infallible. No man can come unto me except my Father which has sent me draw him, and I will. Not I might, or maybe, if they'll do so and so, I'll do so and so. No, I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:44, and in verse 65, he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given to him of my Father, and I will. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. I will raise him up at the last day. Mm-hmm. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Well, when did God save us? When he wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is the same time he chose us in Christ Jesus and sanctified us by the election of the Father and preserved us in Jesus Christ. God hath saved us and called us in time. He lets us know about it by that call. He passes by us when we're dead and trespasses sin and puts his spirit in us. And it's a spirit of life. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit, for the law of the spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Revelation 11:11. When the two witnesses had been slain, the spirit of life from God came upon them, and they stood upon their feet. That's what happened to the children of the covenant. God puts his spirit in them, which is to them a spirit of life and a spirit of faith and a spirit of repentance and a spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, all of those things. And they stand up in life. They live unto God. And they just can't help themselves. They just hear the gospel and they say, ah, that's that message. That's it. That's the truth. There's something in me that bears witness with that. And it's the spirit of truth.
Amen.
But now was made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Now, we're going to be separated from these bodies sometime, but that's not death to us. That's liberation from the corruptions of the flesh. That's being unchained from the old man who's continually at war with that new creature that's put in us. It's our deliverance from this body of flesh. Who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, let me turn back to Zechariah. Chapter 9 again, verse 11. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant. Now, that is the covenant. That's the everlasting covenant of grace. And that's the New Testament. The New Testament is the everlasting covenant.
Amen.
Now, it's called new because when it was declared in effect by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and his session at the right hand of the Father, it made the first old. He called it old. And he said, that which is waxing old is ready to decay. And it did. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the prisoner house. Now look at chapter 13, verse 1. In that day... In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Now that fountain is open to us. Whether Jew or Gentile, or male or female, or bond or free, it is opened to us now. And we partake, we drink of that fountain, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fountain of living water. And by him, by the blood of his covenant, we live. Now, Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now look back at Hebrews 9:26. Hebrews 9:26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And he certainly did that. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now look at 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, when our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, he was bearing the sin of all the election of grace of all ages on his body. He was bearing sin when he was put upon that tree. But by the blood of the everlasting covenant. And he said in Matthew 26:28, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin, which is the same blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the everlasting covenant, the blood of the New Testament. And it is shed for the remission of sins. It was by his blood that those sins that were imputed and charged to him were washed away from him completely. Amen. He was cleansed from those sins, although they were his sins by imputation, not by commission. He had no sin. In him is no sin. Those sins that were laid to his charge, he was justified from all them by his own blood. He paid the debt. Amen. When the high priest of Israel, when the priest that was anointed was sin, had sin, sin was found on him, he had to pay the same price that was paid when all the congregation of Israel had sinned. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ paid that debt for us, which is death. And he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Amen.
Look at Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Now this is Christ Jesus. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. Now if you remember in Luke's gospel, I think it's in chapter 9, he set his face like a flint that he would go to Jerusalem because he said, I must be rejected and crucified. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. His father said, well, the debt's paid.
Amen.
It's over. It's done. The great transaction is done.
Amen.
He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let them stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let them come near unto me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that condemneth me? Lo, they shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Now when the Lord Jesus Christ was, when God pronounced it finished, when the Lord bowed his head and said, it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
He was justified from all the sin that he bore. It was all taken away. It was all put away.
Amen.
And that was the sin of all of the election of grace of all ages was all put away when the Lord Jesus Christ bowed his head and said, "It is finished." And they took him down from the tree and they buried him. But God raised him from the dead. And by that, the Holy Trinity pronounced, "Indeed, it is done. It's finished." Nothing to be put to it. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. By His blood, He rose from the dead. And by His blood, all His members will raised from the dead.
Amen.
With His blood, He purchased my repentance and yours. He purchased my faith and your faith. He purchased a godly sorrow for us. He purchased the indwelling of and ministry of the Holy Spirit to us. Every blessing of the everlasting covenant of grace was purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was by His blood that all of the prisoners in the prison house of Satan are freed. Wasn't by anything we did or ever will do. Wasn't because we did something. It was because He did something.
Amen.
People accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because He has already accepted them as a gift from His Father before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
They believe because He puts faith in them. They repent because He gives them repentance. They seek the Lord when He gives them life and enough brain to know that they need to seek the Lord, which they don't have by themselves. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
All together. Look at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and His Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Now that's the Father speaking to His Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one that man abhors, that man despiseth. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and the carnal mind is enmity against God and against God's Christ. And why do the heathen rage? Why did they imagine a vain thing, saying, "Come, let us cast their bands from us"? Men of that day really despised the Lord Jesus Christ. They spat in His face. when he stood before Caiaphas. They spit in his face because they despised him. And they smote him. And they blindfolded him and they smote him and they challenged his omnipotence. And when they said, well, if you're the Christ, who was it that smote you? And they mocked him with cruel mockery. They didn't just dislike him, they despised him. They hated the ground he walked on. And who was it that did? It was the religious, pious, self-righteous religious leaders of that day. They despised God's Christ. Because he would take their place. They said, well, if we leave him thus alone, what will happen to our place? We won't no longer get to sit in the seat of Moses and be somebody. Yeah. To him who the nation abhor, a servant of rulers. Some of the officiaries of that time come to the disciples of Jesus and said, what, do your master pay tithes? Does he give tithes to Caesar? And so the Lord told Peter, he said, go down to the creek and cast in a hook, and the first fish you come up, get a coin out of his mouth and go pay our taxes. Unless we offend him. He was a servant. Matthew 20:28, he said, the Son of Man let me read it. Can't remember it right off. Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He was a minister. He was God's servant to raise up the tribes of Israel and from among the Gentiles to give his life a ransom for many. So he was a servant. Kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel. And he shall yet choose thee. He shall choose thee. Now the time's coming when every knee is going to bow. Whether they want to or not, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verse 8, thus saith the Lord, in an accepted time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and I will give thee for a covenant of the people. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the foundation. He's the stone of Israel. He's the rock of ages. He's the chief cornerstone of the church. It's all built on him and his accomplishments. And without him, there'd be no standing. There'd be no stand. There'd be no foundation stone, no rock. Nothing solid for us to hold to. He is the covenant. I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Everything that we lost in Adam in the fall, we've gained back. 10,000 times more. Because what we've gained back now, we cannot forfeit. David proved that, and Peter proved that in their sin. The children of God just can't mess up bad enough to be cast out. They'll never be cast out. He said, all that the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We can mess up. We can mess up bad. We can fall into sin head over heels. We have to be careful. But if we do, God will have allowed us to do it for our teaching, to say to us, don't do that. All right, let me go on here. Everything that we lost in Adam, we more than gained back in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we gained in Christ is eternal. Can't be taken away. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, shew thyself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastors shall be in all high places. Let's go to Isaiah 25. I'll close with this. Isaiah 25. Verse 6. In this mountain, which is the church, shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And the Lord will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. I will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears, will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Now, let me back up there. In verse 7, he says, and I will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. That is our unbelief. That's the enmity of our carnal mind. That is the veil that is today spread over the children of Israel. It holds us in unbelief. But in this mountain, in the church, God destroys that. And he takes it away by the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's by the knowledge of the glory of God as it is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6. And the veil that is spread over all nations. It's over everybody. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's begin reading at verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. Now that veil that was over Moses' face pictured the veil that spread over all nations, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. Well, the thing that was abolished was the law, and the end of Christ is the end of the law, so they couldn't see Christ for the veil that was upon their face. But their minds were blinded. God hath poured on them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. But their minds were blinded. Well, the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They can't see. Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah has said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Nevertheless, when it shall turn unto the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. He blinded them, he can unblind them. He can take off the blinders. He did for Paul when those scales fell off his eyes. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, that is all New Testament believers, with open face, that is with an unveiled face, the veil taken away. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are changed into that same image, and it won't be completely finished until we leave this world. But it will be finished. And from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Brother?
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm